Message this morning is breaking free from a darkened understanding. Breaking free from a darkened understanding. And this will be part two in this current focus, this current study that we're in. And if you were not here last Sunday or have not heard last Sunday's message, we'll do our best to kind of bring you up to speed. But in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 15, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says this: "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, there's a lot of preaching we could do here. This is really just an introductory verse to set up where we're going. But notice that these men and women have faith in the Lord Jesus, which means they have been born again. This letter is written to the church at Ephesus. And so we know that the recipients of this letter, the audience receiving this letter, are men and women who've been saved. They're members not just of the local church there in Ephesus, but they are members of the body of Christ. They've been made one with the Lord, and they have received all the benefits and privileges and rights that belong to one who is a child of God. And notice that Paul pointed to their love for all the saints. This will be one of the first evidences of a person's salvation is their love for other people who have also been saved. He says that he does not cease to give thanks for them, making mention of them in his prayers. So sometimes, you know, people say if you keep praying about the same thing over and over again, you're not in faith. Well, there would be some situations that would apply to, but in this particular situation, this was an ongoing need, and it was something that Paul prayed for on a continual basis. And in verse 17, we see what he prayed: "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And if you'll notice, verse 18 ends in a comma, because really what he's praying for them to be able to see and see clearly, know and know clearly, understand clearly, continues on into chapter 2, and you can make a case for it to go even deeper in the book of Ephesians than that. Now, when you think of all the things that Paul could have prayed continuously for the churches, you know, things that people needed in life, things that, you know, things pertaining to their families, things pertaining to their finances, things pertaining to needs in the local church. All of these things are real, and they're present, and they're ongoing. Life is ongoing, and so challenges of life are ongoing. But what I believe the Holy Spirit showed Paul to do was a way to pray for all of those things at once without even having to list them or mention them. Because we know that what Jesus has done for us, who Jesus has made us, and what Jesus has given to us has covered everything that pertains to life and godliness. In other words, there's nothing that we could ask God for this morning that we would need to live the life He created us to live, to fulfill the purpose and the destiny for which He intended for our lives. There's nothing we could ask Him for along those lines that hasn't already been given to us, that hasn't already been supplied, that He hasn't already said yes and so be it too. So rather than Paul praying for people to know that God has blessed them, know these things, he prayed first and foremost continuously that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would realize and know and see and understand not what, you know, they're desiring God to give to them or what they need, but what he's already given to them, that he's already supplied all of their needs, and he's already supplied your needs and mine. So the prayer then is for the eyes of the understanding to be enlightened. And this word "know," and I want to really focus on it again in verse 18, "that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." He's talking about what God has put in you, what he's put in you. And I know this is a huge subject and something we've spent last year on Wednesday studying a great deal. But in Philemon 6, the Bible says, "Acknowledge every good thing that's in you, every good thing that's in you." And when you start looking into the mirror of God's word, you see that there are things in you, amen, that Father God has given to you and put in you that you perhaps didn't realize that are yours and that are there. And so when he says that you may know what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you, in the saints? He's talking about that you would be able to see with perception. That word know, English word know, is translated from different Greek words with slightly different meanings. But this one is E-I-D-O, Edo. And Edo means to see with perception or to see it clearly, that you may be able to clearly see what God has done for you, that you may be able to clearly see what he's given to you, that you may be able to clearly see all that he has put within you. Now remember, we say this over and over again, the Word of God is a mirror, and you need a mirror to see what you can't see without a mirror. And the mirror of God's Word talks about all these things that are in you. Paul knew at least a lot of what was in every born-again believer. He wrote a lot about these things as they were revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. But he also recognized that many, especially many of the baby Christians, many of the people who had just been born again, they had no idea what belonged to them because of who they are in Christ Jesus. Remember, your heritage, your inheritance is what belongs to you because of who you are. So when Jesus made you something you could never make yourself, he qualified you to inherit, to receive from God what you could never earn, deserve, buy, or pay for yourself. Amen. He made you a child of God. When he made you a child of God, he made you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And that's true of every born-again believer, whether we understand that this side of heaven or come to the realization of it when we step across onto the other side. Now, we also see a very important connection or tie-in, this same book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4. So turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin at verse 17. Remember, Paul continually prayed for the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened, that they may be able to see clearly and see with perception all that Father God has done for them, all that he's given to them, all that he has made them. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." The King James Version says, "in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened," so here we go again, "being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Now, what Paul is addressing here is one of the greatest issues that we have in the body of Christ, in Christianity today. It was true in Paul's day, and it remains true in our day. And that issue, that problem, is born-again people continuing to live like someone who has not been born again. Born-again people who are continuing to live, notice, in the futility of their mind. Now, if we go all the way back, and we wanted to make this connection, and so I'll make it again this morning, just remind you. In Proverbs 3, we're instructed to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and do not lean on your, come on now, own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. To lean on something means to be supported by it. To lean on something means to be supported by it. So when he's talking about someone who is leaning on their own understanding, he's talking about someone who's living their life based upon their own understanding. Or we could say it this way, your understanding is the way you see things. So they're living their life based upon the way they see things. And our lives are being supported by the way we see life, the way we see ourselves, the way we interpret what's going on around us. And ultimately, this is key, how we respond to what we're dealing with and what's going on around us. And the Bible is very clear about this. You cannot have the life God created you to live. God is unable to direct your path into the place that he created and intended for you to live if you insist upon being supported by your own way of doing things, your own way of seeing things, your own understanding. And now what we have here in Ephesians 4 is a New Testament version of that Old Testament original. When he's talking about walking, living every day of your life in the futility or in the vanity of your mind. Now let me remind you again, I've said it once, I want to say it again because it's easy for us to lose sight of this. It's easy for us to read this and think about Paul's talking to people who've not yet been saved, that he's talking to people who are still, you know, out there in the world, so to speak, and need to get born again. No, these are men and women who have been born again, but for the most part they're living like someone who has not been born again. And that doesn't just mean in their morality or their sinful behavior. It also means that they're living as outsiders when they should be living as insiders, having their understanding darkened, verse 18, being alienated from the life of God. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So there's a darkened understanding that comes when we live from the vanity or the futility of our own minds. I started to just really dig into this part this morning. Maybe we'll do it in the days ahead. But if you, and computers will enable you to do this, or if you have a Bible where, you know, you can parallel look at multiple translations of the Bible alongside one another. It's really interesting if you take these verses out of Ephesians 4, 17 and 18 and look at them in multiple translations of the Bible at the same time. But let me just run through just some brief, real quick. One translation is, don't go along with the crowd. Don't go along with the crowd. There's a reason why in advertisement they tell you things like 8 out of 10 dentists surveyed, right? Because in the world system, it's majority rule. In the world system, it's you know, whatever the conventional thinking or wisdom of the day is, that's what we're going to go with. And if you noticed how those things change and change and change and change, I just look at, you know, Pam and I raising our children in best practices, right? According to research, according to data, right? And then you've got my grandchildren and things they told us to do with our children. Now they're saying don't do, right? Anybody that's got a baby, you know the great debate, do they sleep on their side? Do they sleep on their stomach? Do they sleep on their back, right? And it's just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Feed them now, feed them later. Don't feed them now, give them solid food now. Me and Pam just kind of get tickled about it. You know, it's like all these things are just constantly changing. Aren't you glad God never changes? Because God knows the end from the beginning. God doesn't start out saying it's one way and then figure out as he moves along, oh, well, it's not that way. Let me change what I said. No, he knew how it was going to be both now and forever. Amen. That's why his word is truth, and truth is eternal. And facts may be facts today, but facts, again, are subject to change. So don't go along with the crowd. Don't go along with the crowd. You know, it's a shame that so many of God's people go to Google before they go to the Bible to find out what they're going to do about a situation in their lives. Amen. The most important question you could ask about anything and everything that has to do with you is, what does the Word say? Amen. What does the Word say? But isn't it amazing how we find comfort, or at least try to find comfort, in other people who have had similar experiences as we've had and how those things turned out for them? Well, when you had this, how did it go for you? And well, when you were in this situation, what did you do? And these sorts of things. And again, we prioritize the opinions of others over what God has to say about our situation. So don't go along with the crowd. Another translation says, don't live like people in the world. Don't live like people in the world. And then amazing how we're in this world to change this world, but we're trying to figure out how to be like the world and change the world at the same time. That's uncalled for. Here's another one. Do not live like those who are hopelessly confused. And then he says, don't live like the unbelievers around you. Don't live like the unbelievers around you. So the futility of their mind, or the vanity of their mind, it speaks of born-again people living from or leaning upon their own understanding. Now here's the key. Here's the key. If something is vain or futile, it will not produce the life you desire, no matter how hard you try Let's rewind that, okay? Amen. If something is vain or futile, it will not produce the life you desire. It'll not produce the results you need. It'll not make the difference that you need to be made, right? No matter how hard you try or how many times you try it. See, the devil will feed you an answer from the world, and you try that answer and it doesn't produce the result for you that he said it would produce. And he just tells you didn't try it hard enough. You need to try harder. You need to double your efforts. You need to triple your efforts. Now, listen to me very carefully. There is certainly effort involved in the ways of God. But remember what Jesus said. Jesus said that his burden was easy, his yoke was light, and his burden was easy. So if it's hard and heavy, it ain't God. There's going to be effort here. There's going to be effort here. But this idea that, well, you know, you just didn't try hard enough. And then after you tried about four or five times and still don't get the same results, now the devil will tell you, well, you're so screwed up, there's nothing can help you, right? And so now we come into this, you know, areas of frustration. So vain or futile thinking will never produce the results you desire in life, no matter how many times you try them and no matter how hard your effort, okay? So we got to be aware of that. A darkened understanding causes people to live alienated from the life of God. And alienated means separated from. Alienated means living like an outsider when you're actually an insider. Living like someone who does not have a covenant with God, as opposed to the person you truly are as a born-again believer, who does have a covenant with God. Living like someone who has not been given all things that pertain to life and godliness by God, as opposed to someone who has been. So do you see the issues that we're dealing with and why we want to break free from a darkened understanding? A darkened understanding causes people to live alienated from the life of God. This is true for those who do not know God and for those who do know Him. Blindness of the heart. Now, is that verse still up here? Because of the blindness of their heart. Excuse me. This blindness of the heart could have also been translated hardness of heart, because of their hardness of heart. And we've touched on some of these things in earlier studies, but we see this was not just a problem for believers in the beginning days of the church. It's not just something that continues today with born-again people in the church, but it was actually something, a big problem in the hearts of the disciples with Jesus on this earth ministering to them. And He kept asking them, are your hearts still hardened? How is it that you do not yet understand? And, you know, they would participate in miracles. They would witness miracles. They would be right there in the middle of it all happening right in front of their eyes. And then just a few minutes later, be acting as if and responding to the next situation as if the last situation never happened. As if the last miracle never occurred. This again is an example of a darkened understanding. This again is an example of how a darkened understanding prevents you from connecting yesterday's victories with today's challenges. Amen. When are we going to figure it out that God has been with us? He is with us. He loves us. He wants good for us. He's protecting us. He's providing for us. He is our source. Amen. And we can trust Him. We can trust Him. Oh, sweet Jesus. Amen. Yes, give the Lord a hand clap of praise, right? We act like God's never done anything for us. We act like we've never been in a tight spot and Him got us out of it before when we come to that next tight spot. And so this again is all back, ties back into, related to a darkened understanding. So blindness of heart could have also been translated hardness of heart. And if you look at this carefully, because you think, well, blindness and hardness, those seem like, you know, so different words and meanings. How could they be related? It's because blindness and hardness covers both cause and effect. Blindness and hardness covers both cause and effect. So if you think of hardness of heart as being set in your own ways, and the more set you are in your own ways, the more blinded you are to the ways of God. Are you seeing this? Because remember, understanding has to do with the way you see things, the way you understand things, the way you process what's going on around you, how you understand it, right? Well, the way I understand it, you realize you can understand something one way your whole life, and that don't mean you're understanding it correctly. Amen. You can believe something your whole life, and that doesn't make it true. You cannot believe something is true your whole life, and that doesn't make it untrue. But what does it make you? What does it make me, right? It makes us confused. It makes us frustrated. It makes us living on the outside when we're actually on the inside with God. So hardness of heart, blindness of heart, what do these two have in common? We're talking about cause and effect. And being set in your ways, that has to do with hardness of heart. In other words, when you look at these disciples ministering to people, they walked away from their businesses, they sacrificed so much, they followed Jesus now for years. They've helped people, they served people, they ministered to people. I don't think just on the outside looking in, you would say those men have hard hearts. We think of someone with a hard heart as someone who's cruel, who's mean, who doesn't speak when spoken to, and these kinds of things. No, it's something completely different here. Hard heart means you're set in your ways. The way you look at it, the way you see it, the way you respond to it, the way you do it. And unless and until the Lord changes that, you know, with your cooperation and His Word and His Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how many miracles you see or experience in your life, you'll still look at today's challenges as if those miracles never happened. But we're coming up from that. Amen. This is what we mean by breaking free from a darkened understanding. So remember when Jesus taught on these things in Matthew 6, He said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot look to God and to money. You're either going to love one and hate the other. You're going to cling to one and reject the other. You can't have it both ways. It will always be one or the other. And of course, from those verses in Matthew 6, we've learned that what you look to becomes the lens you look through. Now you say, what does that have to do with understanding? Your understanding is the lens you look through. The way you understand it is the lens you look through. So what you look to, who you look to, lean on your own understanding. Are you seeing this? Am I going too fast? I want to connect these things together. Whole picture here. Holy Spirit's trying to show us the whole picture here. So let's go back to it again. What you look to becomes the lens you look through. The disciples look to money for the solution to whatever problems they had. And so Jesus supernaturally feeds people with a little boy's lunch. Okay? And then they're in another situation where there's food needed and they start talking about money again. And then they get in a boat and are taking a trip, and Jesus says something about food, and they automatically start thinking that we're all going to go hungry again because nobody brought any food with them and they're in a boat now. And now we're going to notice. And Jesus is like, how is it you do not understand? Right? Because they look to money for their answers. They look through money at any problem they had in life. And if it was a problem money could fix, they were golden, right? But if it was a problem money couldn't fix, they were frustrated. They were confused. They just said, well, it's impossible, what have you. Are you seeing this? So whatever you look to becomes the lens you look through. And so you cannot look to God and to money at the same time, nor can you look through the eyes and understanding of God and look through the eyes and understanding of money at the same time. It'll always be one or the other. So with that said, then, let's take this one step further. You cannot look to and through two opposing lenses at the same time. By default, this is what I'm trying to get to now, by default, one lens will blind you to the other. One lens will blind you to the other. So being set in your own ways will blind you to the ways of God. I don't know if I did a good enough job there or not. Are you picking up what I'm putting down this morning? Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Or more importantly, thank you, Holy Spirit, are you seeing what Jesus is saying here about God and money, and what you look to becomes the lens you look through, and how you understand, and a darkened understanding? Their understanding was darkened because they were set in their own ways. And as long as they're set in their own ways and are not willing to do it God's ways, are you seeing this? They're going to continue to be blinded to God's ways. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there is a whole lot right here. I'm going to say this one more time. Being set in your own ways blinds you to the ways of God. If you look to this world for your answers, you're going to see every problem, every situation, every person, even yourself, through that lens. And at the same time, then, you're going to be blinded to, or let's say it another way, unable to see your situations, your challenges, yourself, other people, through God's eyes, through His way of understanding and processing and seeing things. So do you see now why Paul prayed consistently, continually, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would be able to see with perception. They would be able to see clearly. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. What He has prepared. Notice the tense here. Not will prepare. What He has prepared for those who love Him. Now, Paul, as he often did, is quoting from the only Bible they had, which was the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. But he's showing New Testament believers, believers who've now been washed in the blood of Jesus and had their sins taken away and become new creations in Christ Jesus. He's showing them how the things that were prophesied in the Old Testament have now come to fulfillment and fruition in the New Testament in Christ Jesus. As a born-again believer, you have been given things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. Things which God has prepared. What He has prepared. What He has prepared. Sometimes on Wednesdays, it's been a long day for Pam and I'll say, you want me to grab us something on the way home for supper? And she'll say, I cooked. So what does that mean? It means supper has already been prepared. It is at home waiting in the oven. Are you following? It's ready to go. Compared to, man, I'm sorry, I had a long day today. I didn't get anything cooked. What do you want? She want to eat a sandwich? Sure, sounds good. So in that case, it's not prepared. But if something has been prepared, that means it's already in place, ready and waiting. Amen. So this is what God is saying here. He's saying that these are the things that He's already put in place for you. They are ready for you. We're not waiting on it to finish cooking even. It's ready to go, waiting on you to eat it, right? Are you seeing this? Waiting on you to experience it. Waiting on you to lay hold of it. Waiting on you to enjoy it. And so that quote from the Old Testament brought into the New Testament is setting the stage for what follows. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So what was an Old Testament prophecy that has now become a New Testament fulfillment in Christ Jesus? In other words, what could not be clearly seen, are you hearing me? What could not be seen, understood with perception in the Old Testament, because there was a light shining towards them and all these things that God had prepared for them and us was casting a shadow in their direction. Some of you look like you're getting bored on me. Stay with me now. Those things now are yes and amen. And so he starts out by saying, eye has not seen nor ear heard. But now in verse 10 he says, but God has revealed. And He's revealed them to us, not through our own understanding, but through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. One of the things that you need to, and that's capital T, one of those blessings and benefits that you need to acknowledge that is within you is none other than the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit who is from God has been given to you. That line in that song this morning, I could have sang it 17 more times. The power of your Spirit is now forever. The power of His Spirit is now forever yours. He lives in you now, both to will and to do. Imitating God, being like Jesus, was never meant to be something you were to do without Him living in you, living through you. So God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, I'm not going to go back through this list, but one of the things that we've also been focusing on here of late is that the benefits of salvation are freely given, but they're not automatically enjoyed. There are all kinds of things that belong to you that you may have never even known about, much less experienced or enjoyed in your daily life reality. That does not mean Father God has not given them to you. 2 Peter says He has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Ephesians chapter 1 says that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now let's keep going here. Verse number 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. That's just a beautiful poetic way of saying those things that nobody understood before that are now revealed to us by the Spirit. They're revealed to us by the Spirit because the Spirit of God, who knows God better than anybody else, now lives in you. The one who knows God like you know yourself, even knows you better than you know yourself, is in you, and He knows God and is now waiting to reveal to these things to you. Not waiting to give them to you. He's already freely given them to you. What is He there for? He's there so that you can come to the understanding of what's been given to you. What is the hope of His calling? What are the riches of His glory in the inheritance in the saints? It's one thing for it to be in you, for Him to be in you, for all the things that God's given to you to be in you. But it's another thing altogether for your eyes to be open to that, for you to be able to see it with perception. It's one thing to be made righteous. It's another thing to see with perception your righteousness. It's one thing for Him to make you free. It's another thing to see with perception the freedom that He made you. And I could go on and on and on. That's the context here. That's the point that Paul is wanting to make. And so look at this now. Now we have received. Now we have. Now. If you read this tomorrow, it'll say now. If you read it 10 years from today, it'll say now. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is the spirit of the world that says lean to your own understanding. We have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received, past tense, have received, not will receive, we have received the Spirit who is from God. And notice among all the things that He's come to help us with, we have received the Spirit who is from God that we might see with perception the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. That word know is eido, again, E-I-D-O in the transliteration of the Greek language. It's not just having a knowledge of, but he's talking about seeing it with perception. In the same way Moses endured everything that he endured as if he was seeing him who is invisible, seeing God who is invisible. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You have been given things by God that you don't yet see with perception. And you never will see with a darkened understanding by the spirit of this world. Thank you, Jesus. Man, where does our time go? Praise God. Let me just a little bit more, then we'll do communion, okay? Can you take a little more? Yes, 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 yes. Are you okay? Are you getting anything out of this morning? Amen. Listen to me now. I'm here to build you up. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to serve you. Far too many times in my life, I went to church and feeling worse when I left than I did when I got there. And that I don't believe that's what good news is all about. So listen to me, please. I'm not here to talk down to you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to upset you. I'm not here to hurt you. But far, 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 far more people in the body of Christ are dealing with a darkened understanding than anybody wants to admit. Amen. Amen. And here's the thing about a darkened understanding, okay? It's progressive in nature. I'm so thankful for what I understand right now. We were talking about this before discipleship class Wednesday night. I am so thankful for what I understand right now, but I have trained myself over the years. I have disciplined myself with the Holy Spirit's help over the years that when Father God reveals something to me that I haven't been able to see before, when I understand something that I hadn't understood before, first of all, I tell Him thank you. I'm a steward of that. I write it down. I record it. I organize it. I do hashtags in my notes so I can easily access things that are related to that. I mean, it's something that I want to treasure and value, because if you don't treasure and value it, you won't be hearing much more from Him. But then the next thing that I do is I ask Him, okay, I made it 57 years without seeing this. What else am I not seeing? Amen. Right? Because... And I don't mean this as like the final hoorah or whatever. But Jesus said, the head of the church said, our master said, this isn't something that Kenneth Hagin said or Brother Copeland came up with. I'm talking about Jesus Himself said, the works that He did on this earth, you would do also, and even greater works, because He went to His Father. Can I tell you the number one reason why the church is not doing the works of Jesus and the greater works that Jesus did? Because He went to His Father, like He said, a darkened understanding. That's it right there. We do not see with perception the way Jesus saw with perception. Did Jesus ever see an impossible situation? No. He wasn't faking that either. This is why when He's trying to teach His disciples, He's like, because the Bible says He already knew what He was going to do. He asked them, what would you do in this situation? Because He's trying to bring them up to seeing things the way He sees them. To understanding things the way He understands them. And the same thing that He did with the first 12, He's also equally by His Holy Spirit now endeavoring to do with you and me. To bring enlightenment to our understanding. The more you understand the way God understands things, the less grip fear has on your life. Amen. 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 All right. Singers, musicians, come on. I'm out of time, but I'm not out of stuff. Amen. Let me do this. I know y'all are coming. I know y'all like to stay out there until I get, but amen. These things we also speak. So what is Paul saying? He's like, I'm telling you what these things are that are yours, that you don't know you have. And I speak them not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are going to help Pops prepare communion, you can come on, praise God. They are spiritually discerned. To discern something, anybody want to guess what it means to discern something? It means to see clearly or detect clearly with the eyes. Okay? To see or detect clearly with the eyes. So he's talking about spiritual things that we've been given, but we don't see them with the natural eye. Let me add this there, okay? We don't see them with our own understanding. Amen. Praise the name of the living God. All right. Oh, I could do this till 3 o'clock today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you're good to us, and thank you for this word this morning. Thank you for establishing it in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. All right, they're beginning to serve you communion. If you are a part of the body of Christ, if you're a born-again man or woman, then we would love for you to enjoy communion with us. If you're served first, please hold your emblems. We'll all partake together. And let's remain in an attitude of worship as they lead us, as you're being served. And again, good things for you and yours. Praise God.